Okay, Guten Erev Shabbos. Last week I apologized. I was traveling, so it wasn't possible to give the shiur at that time. But we're back on schedule. And this week's parsha is Matos. And the title of the shiur is Abstention or Indulgence, which is, what we have to figure out is, what is the proper position for a person to take? Should a person enjoy things, or should a person abstain from things? We have a choice, and there's different ideas in the Torah about enjoying the world, and there's ideas in the Torah about being parish. So it comes up in this week's parasha because of Nedarim, because the beginning of the parasha talks about that a person has an option to forbid things upon himself. It says, "Ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem." If a person makes a neder, or he shava shua, or he makes an oath, which is a little bit different, but essentially, in both cases, a person has ability to forbid something that otherwise would be permitted. Le'aser iser al nafsho, he wants to put an iser on himself. If he does that, la'yachol dvaroi, He can't make his words profane, meaning that his words themselves, they have a certain kedusha now, that he made this declaration, and to violate that would be a profanity. It would destroy the kedusha that he established voluntarily. But he created this boundary that this thing is aser lo yachol dvaro. He cannot be mechalel. He cannot profane his words. Kecholo yotzmi piv yasa, whatever he says, he should do. So that's the parsha in the Torah of Nedarim, and it goes on to talk about the different rules and such. But the bottom line is that a person has an ability, according to the Torah, to basically create their own isurim, to make something usher upon himself voluntarily. But once that's done, it is usher, right? Look, that's a chiddush. We wouldn't know that's true if the Torah didn't tell you that was true, that we can make our own Isurim. But here you can do it. So what is the position about this? So the Gemara Nedarim, there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and I think Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Meir holds, Tov mizem mizesh, eino noider kol ikar. Gemara Nedarim on Daf Tesmet Alf, because the Pasuk says, Tov asher tidor mishetidor v'lo teshalem. It says it's better to not make a neder than to make a neder and not keep your neder. But the question is, what's the best thing? So Rabbi Meir says the best thing is not to make a neder at all. Meaning, even if you make a neder and you mekayim a neder, that's not really the best thing. The best thing is not to make a neder. So that's what the Gemara Nedarim says. And it goes further in Yevamos, on Kuf Tesamid Beis, and in other places in Shas as well. It's even stronger. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, Hanoider ki labona bama. Someone who makes a neder is if he builds a bama. Now, a bama is a private altar. It's a private mizbeach. And before the Beis HaMikdash was built, a person had an option to make their own private mizbeach. But once you have the Beis HaMikdash, it's forbidden to be makriv korbanos outside of that area. That's shchut echutz. So a person who makes a neder, he's basically creating his own Torah. It's like he's making a bama. He's deciding, I'll serve Hashem in my way. I won't go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'll serve Hashem in my way. I'll bring my own korbanos on my own private mizbech. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have a Beis HaMikdash to bring korbanos. You have tayag mitzvahs. You have mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs los asay. So who are you to make up a new iser? You got no right to do that. It goes on to say, v'amekaimo. And if you're stubborn and you don't want to be matur the nether, you want to continue doing the nether, kilu hikar v'leh karban. It's not only like you built the bama, it's like you brought a karban on it. So make yourself feel really good. Build the bama and bring a karban on it. Make your nether and keep it. All you're doing is creating your own religion. Pretty strong words from the Gemara in Yevamos. Yet, it doesn't even stop there. That would be enough. Then we have Gemara Nazir on your Testament Aleph. See, when the pasuk says after the nazir, if he became tamei, he has to bring an asham. And the question is, what's the asham for? What did he do wrong? So pash pshat is, you could say, well, he was, you know, maybe he was negligent, but it's not a great pshat, even as a pash pshat, because even if a nazir becomes tameh accidentally, I mean completely accidentally, you can be in a room and someone could die suddenly. If that happened to a nazir, he still would lose his naziris and have to start counting all over again, and he'd have to bring a carbon. So what's the chait? So the drash is that the chiper lov masher chata al hanafesh, he has to get a katara for the chait that he did to his soul. He did a sin to his soul. What's the sin that he did to his soul? So again, if you want to go with a more pashup shot, you could say the nazir is doing naziris in the first place because in some way he sinned. In some way he fell on his avoda. So he needs a carbon. Possibly, but Rav Elazar HaKapper and Nazir Yotesamad Aleph, he goes further. He says, what chait did this Nazir do? He accidentally got tameh. Elashitzir atzomen ayayin. The real chait he did was that he forbid himself and he caused himself pain by withholding from drinking wine. You understand? Drinking wine is a pleasure. We're not talking about drinking apple juice. We're talking about drinking wine. People enjoy drinking wine because it makes you intoxicated. And now we're not talking about drunk. Intoxicated and drunk are two different things. Chazal definitely frowned on people that walked around like drunk people. But at a Shabbos Kiddush, if you're not an alcoholic and you want to have you want to make Kiddush on wine and enjoy the Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh, and it makes your Kiddush enjoyable and your meal enjoyable and puts you in a good mood, this is the right thing to do. This Nazir, he doesn't want to have any wine. It's a chait, according to the Gemara Nazir. He sinned. The Kavachomer. And not only that, it says the Kavachomer, Mazesh Shalotzir Atzom Elimineyayin Nikrachote. This person, all he did was hold himself back from wine, which is a relatively small pleasure, right? However, Hamatar Atzom Yikol Dovar Alachas Kama Vakama. So somebody who causes himself suffering by abstaining from other things, even more significant things, you know, surely that's a terrible chait. Okay, so the Gemara in Nazir here is very clear that under regular circumstances, an ordinary person, and we'll see, there are also irregular circumstances, but right now, the Gemara in Nazir is saying very clearly, under regular circumstances, an ordinary person should enjoy the things in the world. The Torah tells you things that are aser, and there are plenty of those things, but the things that are mutter, even the pleasurable things in the world that are mutter, like drinking wine, a person should enjoy it. And if they voluntarily make an oath and abstain from it, they're sinning in some way. And not only are they sinning, it's like they're building a bama because they're creating their own religious rule and they're bringing mark of a korban on it. So what's the sin? The sin is that Hashem made these things for us to enjoy. And that if we don't enjoy them, it's one thing if the Torah tells us it's usher. The Torah doesn't tell us it's usher. So we're basically thwarting the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or adding on to it. But, you know, that's not the whole story, right? Because we know the Ramban and Parshas Kedoshim in the beginning talks about to be Kaddish is to be Parish min amutar, is to abstain from that which is permitted. So, like a lot of ideas in the Torah, it's a dialectic, that there's a tension between two poles, that it's not so clear that on the one hand, there is a role for abstention, there's a role for precious, but there's also a role for an enjoyment. So let's take a look at the other side of the equation. So the Gemara Nazir on Dalet Amud Beis tells us about Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the famous Kohanim Gedolim. And he said, Miyamai lo achalti osham nazir tamei. I never would eat from a korban of a nazir, korban ashram of a nazir who became tamei. And this is why he never did it, because he felt that the nazirim were not totally sincere in the first place. They made their oath of naziris as an impulsive act, and already there was not tremendous sincerity in that. And then if they become tamei, which means that they had to start their naziris all over again, certainly by then they were filled with regret and resentment. Such a korban, he wouldn't want to eat. He felt that it was almost like chulin ba'azara. Technically, it wasn't chulin ba'azara because he was, you know, it's still a korban and it was still brought lishma. But since it had a lot of mixed feelings about it, and the person was quite likely filled with a sense of regret and resentment at this burden of naziris that he impulsively put upon himself, he didn't want to eat from that. So Rosh Shimon HaTzaddik said, I never would eat from the korban ashram of a nazir tamei, chutz mi'adam echot sheboi lai min hadarim, except for this person who came to me from the south. And he was a very interesting person, yifei enayim. He had beautiful eyes, v'tov ro'i, and a beautiful appearance. Uktusosov Siduris Lo Taltalim, he had these curly locks of hair. You understand, this fellow was gorgeous. He was a really beautiful individual, naturally curly hair, beautiful eyes, beautiful features. So when he saw this fellow was a nazir, Amarti Lo, I said to him, Bnei, my son, Mora Isa Lashachis Sear Nazir. What did you see fit to destroy this beautiful hair? Just as an aside, and a very important aside, again, you know, this is Shimon HaTzaddik. It's not Shimon the blacksmith or Shimon the baker. It's Shimon HaTzaddik. And Shimon HaTzaddik sees a beautiful looking young man with beautiful hair. Gorgeous curly hair, and you know it is somewhat ruined by the naziris, by the vow of abstention that the fellow took upon himself. And his reaction is not, "Oh, wonderful, you're a nazir. Oh, wonderful, you're such a from a yid." His first reaction is, "Why would you ruin such beautiful hair?" And, you know, what does that tell you, you know, about the authenticity of the way in which even a tzaddik experienced the world? The Kadosh Baruch Hu made a person with beautiful hair, and it looked beautiful. Enjoy it. That's just what it was. And you know, Shimon HaTzaddik was disturbed. He was very disturbed why this person would want to destroy and ruin this beautiful hair. Anyway, the fellow gives him a good answer, which changed his mind. And he tells him, Omali, he said to me, Roa Hayisi La'avi Be'iri, I was a shepherd for my father in my city. I was a simple guy, a shepherd. Halachti Lishav Mayim in a Mayan. I didn't even know what I looked like. One time I went to the well to draw up water. You know, not everybody had a lot of money. There was a lot of poverty. He didn't even have a mirror. So he never saw his reflection before. He went to draw water from the well, and he saw his own reflection in the water. Ministakalti bababuashili, I looked at my reflection. Upachas yitzri alai, and suddenly my yitzahara quickly got a hold of me. Ubikesh latardani min ha'olam, and my yitzahara wanted to drive me out of the world, because all of a sudden I felt a tremendous arrogance and pride at my beauty. Amarti lo. So I said to my Yetzihara, this is the Nazir talking, Reka, you empty person, Mipnei Ma, Thomas Gai, Ba'olam Sheino Shalcha, why are you feeling pride about a world that doesn't even belong to you? Shesofach, Lios Rima Vatalea, you will end up being just worms. Ha'avoda She'agalcha L'Shamayim, therefore, by the service of the Lord, I will shave you for, you know, Hashem Shemayim. So basically the fellow said, look, you know, it might be true that I had beautiful hair. It might be true that I shouldn't destroy it. But basically, my Yitzhara got a hold of me, and I saw myself becoming too proud. And so I needed to take some kind of drastic action to curb my arrogance. And that's why I did it. So what's Shimon HaTzadik's reaction to that? Omarati unishakti valrosho. I stood up and I kissed him on his head. Omarati lo, I said to him, Kamoscha yarbe nizirim be Yisrael. Like you, there should be many nizirim in Yisrael. So Shimon HaTzadik, that was the korban that he did eat from, because he was really sincere, right? So now we've got the other side of the equation, right? Even though it's technically, and not just technically, it's authentically a chet to abstain from things that are permitted in this world and to forbid things, because it shows a lack of appreciation both for the regular mitzvahs and also for enjoying the things in the world that Hashem gave you. But if a person feels that in some ways that they're losing their control, and they're losing their ability to experience these things in perspective, then it's appropriate to make the vow. And the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim really spells it out much more in detail. At the end of Hilchos Nedarim, he says, "Misha nader nedarim kdei lachonin deyosav lo sakin ma'asav harezes zaris u'meshuvach." Someone who wants to make nedarim to fix his thinking, to correct his distorted thinking, and to correct his actions, thinking and actions both. Harez Ezoriz Meshubach, that is a person who is rizus, and that is praiseworthy. Ketzad, Mishai Ezol of Asr of Abasar, Shano Hashanayim, someone who is a glutton, so he forbade himself to eat meat for a year or two in order to curb and change his habits. Omisha Shuga Biyayin, someone who drinks too much wine, Vasar Yan or Asnos Man Maruba, For a long amount of time, he forbade wine. O osar hashichros le'olam, I think it means, and he forbade himself from drinking an amount that would bring him to shichros forever. So that would be like, you know, it could, you know, maybe more than a revius or a revius. I'm not sure what the Rambam means exactly, though it is interesting when it comes to wine, the amount of time that the nether that he prescribes is much longer than a year or two, and possibly forever, which gives some support to the Alcoholics Anonymous credo that, you know, people who are addicts can't ever touch wine again. That's interesting. But anyway, leaving that alone, the Rambam basically says that if you do it for these reasons, so kulon derech avodah l'shem heim, that's really l'shem shemaim, and that's the right way to do things. However, he says, even though it is service to Kadosh Baruch Hu, one should not do too many of these things. You don't have to make a nether. If you want to abstain, you should work on abstaining, but without a nether. It's too strong, and it's too extreme. And then he goes on to say, like the Gemara says, called a noder ki l'bon abama. Okay, so we see the two sides of the coin. Right, and the challenge is that many addicts and people that are struggling with different Yisurim, they have to figure out, is the correct path abstention, like that fellow in the Gemara Nazir that he realized that his arrogance was taking over, and he needed to take some kind of drastic action, or is the path to in some way, moderate or manage the taiva. And the Gemara in Sota, which I quoted at other times, it's in Mem Zayin and Aleph, Yetzer Tinog V'Isha Te Smol Docho Yumin Makarevas. The Yetzahara, a child and a woman, when you're dealing and you're confronting them, you should push with your left, but draw near with your right, meaning that you should be very gentle in how you deal with the woman, very gentle in how you deal with the child, but also very gentle in how you deal with your yetzer. Now, it's true, Rashi over there learns us talking about a mitzvah pruervu. See, he says you won't be able to do the mitzvah if you push away the yetzer too much. But the Ravid in Balei Nefesh is very clear that he's not just talking about Puravu. He understands as a way of moderating Taiva, that if you have terrible Taiva, sometimes the answer is not to be Docha B'Shtei Yadayim, is not to push it away completely, but in some ways to moderate it. So the challenge here is, and I think each person really has to think about this in a Ba'oznei Tzedek, with scales of righteousness and really with unflinching self-honesty, to ask is the approach precious abstention or is the approach some kind of moderation? Because the truth is that there are really many, many wonderful ways to enjoy the world. And when you're dealing with compulsions of forbidden pleasures, oftentimes there are pleasures that are accessible that are not forbidden. And the approach can be to invest in developing an appreciation for the permitted pleasures. Now, it is true that the Ravid, and again, in Sefer Balei Nefesh, he points out that that's the least valuable, the least praiseworthy, he says it's still praiseworthy, but the least praiseworthy function of sexual union, to abate taiva. There's much higher purposes, but he says it's still praiseworthy. He just says it's the least praiseworthy. And, for many people, scoring praiseworthy at all in this area might be a better choice than trying to be such a big tzaddik. Now, a lot of people, will say that, ma'am genuvim yimtaku, it's the forbidden things that are sweet, and in my relationship, the things that I have, my wife is boring or whatever it is, it's not exciting. These are very important challenges, but people devote a lot of time and energy toward chasing after what is usser. In fact, they spend sometimes a tremendous amount of money to their ruination, or they risk their standing in the community. It really doesn't seem to ever end. Every month or two, we hear of some other prominent community figure who unfortunately was nichshel in different ways. So we know, people really, really do struggle with that, and they'll do the craziest things. So why is it someone would spend $500 on an isser, but not spend a few hundred dollars taking their wife out to dinner or to a hotel or having a good time? That's a very good question, and people really need to think about that, right? Because you need to invest. If you want to take the approach, you want to be a parish and you think it works for you, go ahead. But if it's not working for you, you need to invest the same energy and the same zrizus that you would invest in an iser, you need to invest it into your relationship. And that a happy spouse is a beautiful spouse. It doesn't happen right away. But oftentimes, when you invest in your relationship fully, with full commitment, and you work very hard on it, many long-standing issues that make your spouse ugly to you, either emotionally or even physically, begin to resolve themselves. And they resolve themselves because basically a spouse that feels loved and feels taken care of will make a lot of effort oftentimes. Not always. There are personality issues that sometimes get in the way. Not everything works, but oftentimes people realize that they're being treated with love and they respond with love, and the person that feels love and is in love can do a lot of things to be beautiful and look beautiful. So it's something that people really have to think about, because I'm not a big fan of extreme abstention, in case anybody didn't notice that already, and that this is a very, very important inyan to consider. I want to end with a very interesting drash. It's best if you have a pen and paper, because you'll be able to see the words visually in a different way. So I'm just going to wait a couple of moments. If any of you who want to go get a pen and paper, you won't be sorry. So if you spell out, you can write it on a piece of paper or try to visualize it in your head. Kishe yibane. That's one word, kishe yibane. The next word is bimahera, right? Kishe yibane bimahera, like yibane beis hamikdash bimahera, right? So if you look at the word kishe yibane bimahera, those two words, if you look at the last three letters of the first word and the first three letters of the last word, it spells bana bama. He built a bama, right? So what does that mean? It means the person that wants to make a quick fix and is trying to fix everything, ki yibane bimahera. He wants to build it right away. He's impatient, and he impulsively makes a neder because he wants to be purish from everything because he thinks he's going to fix all his problems with some impulsive, you know, act without doing the homework, without doing all the steps and the process that it takes to really develop oneself to be a purish. So if he does that, because yibane bimahera, if he tries to build and fix too quickly, it's bana bama. Then he has made a bama, like the Gemara in Nazir says. It's bana bama. But if you do it the right way, if you go more slowly, and you're thoughtful, and you develop yourself, and you find the right approach, the right level of extension that's good for you, and you plan it properly with guidance, then it's kashera, then it's kosher. And if you look at the first three letters of the first word and the last two letters of the last word, that spells kashera. So within kishe yibane bimahera, within trying to make things fixed quickly, if you do it wrong, it's bana bama. It spells bana bama. But if you do it right, it's kashera. And that's the, you know, dialectic here between abstention and indulgence. I'm going to turn off the recording, and then we can open up for a question or two.